I'm Neil.
And I'm Brock.
We've been pastor's kids for nearly two decades.
And most of that, we've been brothers.
We're here to talk about what life is like being the kids of Pastor Joe and Kirsten.
Welcome to Under the Hood. Bow, 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 bow.
This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away.
What's up, everybody? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
We are...
I love it. Taking over. It's the big takeover from the bros. They're back.
Woo. The bros takeover. Neil and Brock are on Under the Hood podcast for round number two.
We're back, baby.
It's my third time.
All right, be quiet.
Oh, it's your third time. Well, not together. Both of you, Neil and Brock, together.
Second time together.
Well, so we have both the boys here.
Thanks for starting us out here, Brock. Great job. You know, great intro.
The better song.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
What a fun thing. We have all four of us are together. We actually picked up Neil from the airport, and Brock said, we're all back together again.
Back together. Did we break out in song then or when we got home? I can't remember.
Together at last. Together forever.
Neil's remaining silent on this part.
We'll allow it.
Now, the last time, we did the Williams Bro takeover was right before Neil went off to college. So that was about a year and a half ago. And we just listened to the intro of that to remind ourselves. And Brock sounded so different back then.
I was going
to
say, if we re-recorded it, which we didn't for you, you guys heard it. Brock has a different voice from when he was a freshman in high school.
Finally made it.
Yeah. You've arrived.
I'm here.
But we hope you had a great Christmas. And we haven't been on here for a few weeks. And primarily, you know, some of that's just sickness and busyness, a little combination of both. So it's been a couple weeks since our last podcast, and we're very excited to be back on here after Christmas and have our sons here. So we're going to talk. This would be the epitome of talking about our faith, our life, and our ministry, which is what this podcast is all about. And I think you're going to get probably quite a bit of family today. And we're not exactly sure what Neil and Brock are going to share. But as always, we have the power of the editing machine.
We so think they have
you're only
going
to get to
sleeve.
Hear. You're only going to hear what we allow you to hear, right? So if they say things, we can always edit because this is not live. But hey.
Yeah, so this is a little bit of like a family update.
Family update.
For anyone who wants to hear, Neil, are you going to tell your friends about this podcast?
Some of them know about it.
Oh,
that is one of the really funny things because when some of Neil's friends at the academy found out that his parents have a podcast, they immediately did what, Neil?
Made fun of me.
Made fun of you because you have parents who have a podcast?
Didn't make fun of me, but they thought it was funny.
And then I immediately started texting one of your friends the episodes that you were on.
Yeah, I don't know if any of them actually went and listened to it.
That would be fun.
They're just jealous because we're famous and they're not.
I don't know about fame.
What are your friends? You've kind of told us a few stories. You are known at the academy among your friends as the guy from Arkansas. Yeah. And what does that mean? Talk to us a little bit about their perception of Arkansas, because a lot of these are East Coast kids and come from, of course, everybody comes from way, I mean,
you've got friends from Japan,
all kinds
that
of different
are there. Yeah,
what are the, you've joked with us a little bit when they find out you're from Arkansas, what are some of the things?
I mean, I kind of play it up a little bit, but they kind of expect me just to say some wild stuff, just anytime, any like, no one normal would say that, but they expect me to say the kind of
I don't even know if I want to ask
what's going
what,
on, y'all.
But like, do they just think that Arkansas is country and that you're just country? And
many of them have told me they don't know exactly where it is. They just imagine it out in the middle of nowhere.
It's so true. I remember when we lived in Oregon and we were telling some friends that we were moving back to the Midwest, and then we'd been here for a while and said we're moving to Arkansas, and they were like, Arkansas, that's a state? And they literally have to go get the map out and look. And I'm like, really? Poor Arkansas getting a bad rap. I will say, being from Chicago, I would have been in that same boat back then. But if they've ever been here, they would know how beautiful, and there's so much to do. It's just a gorgeous state. So there's
some of that. You're moving to Arkansas. Do they have plumbing and paved roads down there? Are they still horse and buggy?
One of our friends in Kansas City is like, well, you don't have to have shoes if you go to Arkansas. I'm like, not funny.
That's what I thought.
But I just wondered if that's what they kind of think of, like hunting and squirrel eating and barefoot and guns.
I think they just imagined me living in a shack out in the middle of the woods roasting squirrels over an open fire for dinner. It doesn't help that I send them videos of us taking shots at squirrels and raccoons off our back deck.
Wait. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Listen. Allegedly.
I was going to say, yeah, we do own a BB gun, and we've had that for quite a few years, and we've used it to shoot holes in cans and
squirrels.
Yeah, well, I mean, nuisance animals, if you're going
to... I think the video you're referring to is there was a big old raccoon on our back deck, and
we eating the kitty's food.
We went after it.
Oh, no.
Not to harm it, to scare it off, and Neil was filming, and we didn't know it, and he goes, the kids at the academy are not going to believe this.
It was 2 minutes after I'd gotten home for Thanksgiving break, and Dad grabbed the gun and ran out to go shoot an animal.
Scare.
Get off my porch.
Scare an animal. Yeah. Scare an animal.
I believe the exact words were, I'm going to blow its head off.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
There's no recording of that.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, is there a recording of that?
Not that exact line.
Okay, good.
I was going to say,
good.
I doubt that.
I don't know if I would have said that.
That's not your dad.
If I knew you're filming. But
and Brock's finishing up finals at school.
Yeah.
Neil finished his finals and Brock's finishing his finals.
It's going great.
And you're gonna get all A's?
Yeah, no. It's going all right. My grades are not the best, but we're getting there. Yeah, barely.
I think your brother said D stands for diploma or degree. Yesterday.
I'm getting a lot of degrees then. I'm doing great in school, man. Yeah, finals, I hate them.
And I don't know of anybody that loves finals.
I didn't know a kid at school who loves finals.
Final exams are not fun. But I will say that we had a fantastic concert. So we got an opportunity to have the Chamber Orchestra here at New Life for its last holiday concert series the other night. And Brock surprised us and was first chair that night and played a little solo.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my word, it was so good.
One of the parents ruined it. I was trying to give it a surprise. And so we would just start playing. And then they'd be like,
No, she had just said, I think Brock's playing solo tonight. I'm like, what's that mean?
Well, then, let me set this up a little different. They were doing rehearsal. And we just wanted to be there to make sure Mr. Collette and everybody had everything that they needed in case. So we were very present. So we were sitting in the auditorium. And that's when Mr. Collette said something like to Brock, this is the part. And Brock looked at me and he gave me the, because like the cat was out of the bag. And so I kind of got, that's when I knew. And one of the other parents, we'll say this, Brock, one of the other parents came up to me and said, that was so fantastic, which it was. It was really great. And I told this parent, I said, I had no idea that was happening till like just a little bit ago. So Brock, I know you were trying to save it for a surprise.
It was a cool surprise.
It was a great surprise.
Is that nerve-wracking playing a solo in front of everyone like that?
One of the last parts was not that bad.
It
wasn't an overly difficult piece. I've seen you play much harder pieces.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It's just when you're playing solo, it's harder to get everything in tune because you hear only yourself. And it's just, it's more difficult, but it's not too bad.
It was really cool. It was really good. And we had a full house.
Very full house. The whole place was packed.
It was at the Raritan campus, and it was a full house. It was just a really cool concert. And we had people from New Life that were here, friends of Brock's. And then we also had a lot of people from the community that came. And so it was a really cool concert.
Half my family showed up. I didn't even know they were coming.
Well, we didn't either.
We had
it was
family
awesome.
All the way from Joplin and from Neosho that came. And they did the wave when Brock got introduced and stood up to bow. They did the wave in the back row.
That's when I first saw him. I saw my uncle stand up and do that. I was like,
but you know, what? Mr. Collette had shared with me, it's really nice to play in front of a full crowd. And I don't think that they were expecting a full house for this concert. So that was always a nice blessing to have. Like,
I wasn't either.
It's always more fun. Like for stuff like that, if you're playing to a packed house versus, just a few sporadic
people. But Bentonville High School, their chamber orchestra does a concert series in December every year. And so they go for to several different churches in Bentonville and in Bella Vista. And they do that as kind of a fundraiser. And so your orchestra, actually the, your teacher conductor had come to ask us, hey, would New Life be willing to do it? And we're like, well, we think we can. You better come check and make sure the stage is big enough for the whole orchestra. And he came and it was fantastic. So
the drum box was a problem.
The drums.
Well, drums.
You know, I looked at that stage. I didn't think about this till the concert was going. I thought, that's a lot of weight on that stage. But then guess what? You know what? I remember back in 2016 when we remodeled that room, Dave Brashinger rebuilt that stage.
Oh, really?
And that's when I was like, oh, no, Dave built it. It's fine.
It's like concrete.
I mean, I know. I was like, because, you know, you do. That's things you have to consider, like how much weight is up there. But I will. I don't know if Dave Brashinger, he's a member of our church. I don't know if he listens to this podcast. But I was sitting in the back, and I'm going, it's fine, because I know that Dave built it. And I remember when he tore out the old stage and rebuilt this new one and remodified it. And I just, I don't know, I just had a lot of confidence at that point going, but Dave built it. It's fine. And so, and it was fine. It was fine. I mean, I'm assuming it's fine. Nobody fell through it.
Well, everyone was cramped in there. The stage was cramped. The auditorium was cramped. It was a really cool
concert.
Seems
a lot smaller once you get up there with all the chairs.
With everyone on there, yeah. Because I think they had like 40 kids on the orchestra on the Reardon campus stage. That's a lot of stage.
I don't know
that's
if we've ever had 40 people
chairs,
on that stage before.
People and instruments on that stage. Yeah, that was really cool.
We'll post some pictures and stuff on the show notes. You guys can see it. So hopefully we can have them back again next year. That'd be really great. The invitation's there. And so but that was great. So here we are. The family's back together. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about family and ministry and some cool stuff that's happening around here.
Have you ever wanted to represent New Life Christian Church with some of the best merch around? Now introducing New Life Christian Church merch. T-shirts, $12. Hoodies, $18. This podcast has been brought to you by New Life NWA Swag. Have a good one, New Life. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my word. Between the snickering and then I snorted because I thought he was done.
Neil, Neil just said, you guys take breaks? You guys have ad breaks in your podcast? I said, we don't have ad breaks because we don't have any sponsors. No one's paying us to do this. And so Neil's like, I'll get you an ad. For those of you that are new to the podcast, you know, our son Neil is in his second year at the Naval Academy. So he lives in Annapolis, Maryland most of the time. So obviously this has been quite a change of pace for you. I know you're really glad your plebe year was over. And so talk to us a little bit. How is your life different now that your plebe year is over?
Oh, it's different in almost every imaginable aspect. So I'm not a plebe anymore, which means I can't wear whatever I want. I still have to wear navy clothes, but it can be like a hoodie that says navy on it or a t-shirt that just got an N somewhere on there. Last year I had to be wearing either a uniform or an issued PT uniform. So it was one pair of shorts and one t-shirt that I was in. That's all I could wear.
Or even sleeping.
Yeah, right? Even sleeping. Or if it got cold, there was an issued hoodie and an issued pair of sweatpants that everyone gets, and you had to be wearing those. So I can wear a lot more now. Makes you feel more like a human. I don't have to walk in the center of the hallways anymore.
You don't have to high step it?
And I don't have to chop, which is basically running with high knees through the hallways anymore. I don't have to do that. I can kind of walk like a normal person.
You can walk in curved lines now?
Yeah. I don't have to take the straight paths. I can take like the curved paths now. And since I'm not a plebe, now I can talk to the juniors and seniors like
normal people.
I'm Neil. I'm not Mr. Williams. I'm not a plebe. I can actually have a conversation with them. It's just a lot better.
Yeah.
So life is good. So now that you are not a plebe, you are actually in charge now of mentoring some of the plebes. And so how has that dynamic been different? You went from the one being mentored to the one doing the mentoring now.
I mean, I like it a lot. Some of the plebes are obviously really annoying.
I'm sure they said something to you about like that, like last year.
I'm sure.
Okay.
But, you know, it just, a lot of them are really good people. And, you know, you have meetings. Everyone's assigned like an individual plebe to mentor. So I have meetings with him like once a week and we just talk.
Can you say his name?
I mean, I could.
That's classified.
That's not that's necessary for this but, podcast.
I mean, I teach them. They take their professional knowledge quizzes every week. So I teach them that stuff and I quiz them on that stuff. And then we also just talk about how he's doing at the academy and life. And
how's your professional knowledge?
It's great.
Good.
So you had a pretty remarkable summer. And out of your plebe year into your next year, I know you were in San Diego for a lot of that and did some training. What are some of the trainings that you're hoping to do this upcoming summer?
This summer, I want to go to RTAP. That'd be fun.
Now, what is that? What are you allowed to say about that?
I'm pretty sure it stands for Recon Training and Assessment Pipeline. Basically, it's 6 weeks long. I just get beat up and go on runs and get hazed in the pool. Not hazed. The United States military doesn't haze. but it's just really, really, really hard.
They put you through trials and tribulations.
Don't get a lot of sleep, you know, carrying the logs around, rolling around in the sand, doing
Why
push-ups.
Why do you want to do this?
Sounds like a good time.
Sounds like fun.
You and this is something you desire to do.
Yeah.
You want to. Now, where will that training take place?
I think that's out at Camp Pendleton.
Oh, back out in California. So what are some other things that you're hoping to do next summer?
I'd like to detail for plebe summer. That'd be fun.
Why don't you explain to people what that is?
And drill instructor, basically what you'd imagine all the movies yelling at the new recruits.
He gets to boss people around. That's what he wants to do.
Incoming plebes, they get their head shaved, and then I'm in charge of them for 3 out of their 6 weeks during boot camp.
That is scary.
Yeah, that's not an easy job.
Taking over and giving orders for 3 weeks to these young plebes, I feel bad for them.
I think you're only allowed to
drop them so often, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of rules on like what you're allowed to say to them and what you're not allowed to say to them, and it changes every year. And there's rules on like how many push-ups you can make them do and how many minutes you can have them hold a plank, and so it's all really strictly regulated to make sure it's all safe.
But as a detailer, think drill instructor. That's basically the same thing. And the upperclassmen train the incoming plebes to get them ready for military life and academy life. So you guys are responsible for that. And so you run with them, you drill them, you teach them, you escort them, you make their life miserable on purpose because you're trying to break them down so you can build them back up. It's all, am I on the right track here? All of those things?
Essentially.
Okay. Well, good. Well, so those are the things. And hopefully, I hope you get to come home next summer.
I might.
Yeah. So
I'm kidding.
Neil, your second year here, tell us a little bit about, I don't know, what's it like trying to maintain your faith on campus and trying to still live the Christian life? What are some of the things that help you do that? What are some things that you find challenging to do that? Like, what are some of the... Who are some of the challenges of still trying to maintain your walk with Christ at the academy?
Challenges are probably just how busy it is there. Like, it's always so go, go, go every single day. Like, go to your classes, do this. You got to work out. You got to have all these meetings after class. You're doing all this. And before you know it, like, it's time to go to bed and get up early and do it again the next day. So it's just kind of something that unless you make a really strong effort to do, it kind of can get pushed back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely still possible. It is very... Because it is a military and like a governmental institution, they have to respect everyone's religion and they have to accommodate for everyone's religion. So there are things that I go to every week and I still go to church. They can't like, it's definitely very possible.
They can't own you completely.
They can't tell you not to do that.
As a plebe, they offer services on campus. You're not allowed to leave. But now that you're not a plebe, a little bit more freedom, you were able to go find a church off the yard.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's just a church we found. It's about a 25-30 minute walk away. And so I'll go most weeks, usually.
In uniform?
Yeah, in uniform. Next year I can go in regular clothes, but I got to be in uniform this year. Me and usually one or two of my friends, some weeks I've had up to like 5-7 of my friends will all go with me. So we just walk to church and then we go get lunch afterwards.
Nice.
Yeah, That's kind of become a thing. So,
yeah.
You know, something you know, Mom and I prayed very often, we still do that God would just bring other really strong Christians, other strong Christian midshipmen into your path, into your life, and that somehow you guys could kind of walk this road together because you're all facing the similar challenges. And, you know, even in the best of circumstances as a college student, it's not always easy to maintain your faith with all the different challenges and all the different pressures. But I am glad to know that you've been going to church every Sunday, and of course, we remind you often.
Yes.
But you also enjoy going to OCF.
Yeah.
Which, talk about that just a little bit. I know we've talked about it before a little bit, but just kind of talk about it a little bit.
OCF stands for
Officers Christian Fellowship. So they meet every Tuesday night, and then they do a Bible study every Thursday. I usually just go on Tuesdays. I make time for that every week, and then I go to a Bible study in my company every Thursday night. So, yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Keeps you busy. That's all on top of the other stuff. So, Brock, how about you, man? Over here at Bentonville High School, how do you find, how do you continue to try to maintain your walk with Christ? And what are some of the challenges at Bentonville High School, and or just being a high school student? What helps you with that?
Just trying to surround yourself with people who believe what you do, do what you do. It's definitely hard at a big high school like that, because with all the stuff that's ungodly and not according to the Bible and all that, it's just how you act. If like I don't know, just try to find other people.
Yeah, you get to still be under the Williams roof, so you kind of get a full blast of it all the time. And of course, you're in church every week and going to youth group, and of course, those are things that, you know, we make sure you're there and make sure you are. The nice thing, one thing I really appreciate about what, you know, our youth pastors here at New Life do, and they really work hard to build an incredible environment for all of our high school students that can come on Wednesday nights to youth group. They are available to you guys. You know, I know that you feel especially close with our Reardon campus, our campus pastor, youth pastor, Zach, and you don't know Reed a lot. He's brand new, but you know, he focuses more on the Highlands campus. But you know, I think having some great youth pastors and being surrounded by these other students. But you both of you, whether you're at Bentonville High School or you're at the Naval Academy, you are surrounded by people from all different walks of life and all different kinds of belief systems. And so, yeah, it's I can't underscore just how important, you know, staying connected to your church family and being surrounded by great Christian people. So that's something Mom and I pray for all the time for you guys, that you always have, like, your very closest friends that we'd pray in life would always be ones that are like-minded. But but at the same time, you can't isolate yourself just to that. You can't surround yourself completely. You got to, if you're ever going to make any disciples and share the gospel, you got to be around others that don't believe it yet. So, you know, I'm excited for both of you and the opportunities you have. And you know, Neil, that makes me really happy that you've been able to go to church and still stick with, you know, the OCF and the Bible studies. And of course, your dad, Mom are always here to help you with any of that stuff. So,
yeah, not with my math homework, though.
Not with
you. He stopped being able to help me with that in like the fourth grade.
That's my line. He stole that from me. I'd like everyone to know
this
that.
This is true. This is true.
Simple addition. I still remember it was simple. It was a simple math problem. I'm like, Dad, how do you do this?
If it was simple, then why'd you need help?
Because
rude.
Go ahead, Brock.
It was something simple. Looking back at it now, but I was confused on it, and it's like I forgot what it was. But I was like, Dad, can you help me with this? He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna tell you. I have no idea what this is. Just go get your brother. Then he went back to watching football.
That's
funny. I stopped being able to help you guys with homework around fifth or sixth grade.
It was fourth grade.
I think it's true. I really am not smarter than a fifth grader. I'm telling you right now, this is a true statement. I mean, like, if you had questions like about
Common Core changed everything.
Well, if you had questions about history or basic stuff, yeah, we can hunt down those answers. But most of it, I'm just be straight up honest with you, they got about fifth grade, sixth grade. I looked at their homework and I'm like, I'm out. I don't know any of this stuff. I'm either really dumb or they changed it all, or they teach totally different things.
They changed how you do division on us.
No, they didn't.
And yes, they did. And now
not on
all of
him.
A sudden,
this is what he grew up with.
All of a sudden, division is like, you look at it and you're like, I don't know what you're doing, but that's not how I learned it.
If I go to Ozark, then my dad will be able to help me.
This is true. If Brock ends up at Ozark Christian College, which is one of...
Do you want to go to Ozark?
One of,
no pressure.
Okay,
Brock,
you can speak for yourself.
It's a consideration.
What schools are you considering?
North Texas University, because they have a good music program.
Okay.
Ozark.
Okay.
Christian College.
What would you want to focus on at Ozark?
Do they offer multiple different degrees?
Probably worship.
Yes. There's a whole lot of different options at Ozark. You can get ministry
worship
degrees.
Worship ministry.
Worship, student ministry,
student
mission.
Ministry, kids ministry.
You can also co-op. You can also co-op missions, with Missouri Southern or Pitt State, and you can get other degrees. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, probably worship ministry if I do go to Ozark.
Okay.
Because Brock sings in the worship band on our student ministry at Reardon campus and helps lead for that.
Yes, what I other do. Schools are you thinking about, Brock?
U of A, University of Arkansas. It's always...
Because your friends are going to be there?
Not just that, but...
It's close.
Close, yeah. That's what my parents want me to not leave ever.
Closer than Annapolis.
Everything's right? closer than Annapolis.
Yeah. Won't have to fly home. I can just drive home.
Oh, that
we're
going to
go
so
do a
nice.
Campus visit down in Searcy, Arkansas for Harding University.
We are.
We're going to do that later this spring. So pretty impressed with Harding University. Now, I love Ozark Christian College, of course. And if you get the ministry bug and want to do that, of course, that's exactly where I'd like you to go. But I'm telling you, Harding University is a wonderful university. I'm so impressed. Mm-hmm. I've had to be down there several times in the last year for different events and things. And I'm just extremely impressed with the leadership and everything else with that school. So Harding University is, and they have a great music program as well.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say this. We're talking about the homework. If Brock ends up at Ozark Christian College, I can help you with that homework all day long.
Yeah.
That would not be a problem.
Okay, shifting gears. I'm going to ask the boys, since it's Christmas season, what is your favorite or most memorable Christmas memory?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably just hanging out with friends. Our family does like a cookie day every year, and yeah, we just invite a bunch of people. That's pretty fun.
It's our life group. Our life group has done a cookie day for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and we all bake cookies, we all make icing, and then we cover the table full of sprinkles and icing and tell the kids they get to go first. So all the kids sit down and they decorate cookies first, and then they get bored pretty quickly, which is nice, usually within an hour.
I don't. Well,
and they get done, and then all the adults, or females I should say, usually not always do the males participate in this, but we sit down and we decorate cookies. So that is a good memory. Good one. Neil, what about you? What's your favorite memory and or for Christmas? What is your favorite memory
tradition
growing up?
Yeah,
tradition. Growing up. I mean, it could be anything. Nothing.
Sitting
Neil has no
lap.
Good memories of Christmas.
I don't know. All of it. All of Christmas. I like all of Christmas. Cookie day, time with the family. Probably just like our whole extended family coming over and we all pray and then eat dinner. Oh. That's always good.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. I think the same thing. Like I love, my family was full of tradition with Christmas, and I don't feel like we built in a ton of those crazy traditions in our family. Because I mean, my family, it was down to the meal, like what we had on what day, and we could not deviate from it, which is not a bad thing. And we kind of still give my mom a hard time about the Jell-O not setting up, because we always had chicken Kiev with rice, green bean casserole, croissant rolls, like the crescent rolls, and strawberry Jell-O. And the strawberry Jell-O was never set up. And that was a tradition to eat that on Christmas Eve. And so I still remember that. We celebrated Christmas.
Are you calling
on
your mom
Christmas
out
Eve.
For not being able to make Jell-O?
She struggles. And she knows I love her. She knows I love her. She knows there's no love lost there. But it's something she would admit to if she were in the room right now. And we can all laugh about it now. But it was one of those things that we're like, why is the Jell-O not set up?
Can I sidebar one thing?
And when she's not. And when she's
I've been in the ministry. I've been in the ministry for 26 years. I've been in the ministry. Well, I've been preaching just about every weekend for 27, 28 years. And in that time, I have eaten my fair share of Jell-O and church potlucks and everything. Can I also tell you that in that time, some of the strangest things that have ever been. See, Kirsten knows. It's one of these shared memories we've had in our lives. Some of the strangest things that you would ever think should not be in Jell-O, we have found in Jell-O. I'll tell you, one of the craziest things I ever saw in a serving of Jell-O, peanuts.
Yes, I remember
peanuts.
That one.
Peanuts. I've seen raisins. I've seen celery. Celery was a weird celery. One. Chopped up celery in Jell-O.
I think there was tuna in it one time, too.
Did you have meat in Jell-O?
I think so.
I'm telling you, some of the places I've been and some of the things that popped up on a church potluck, it's like, what is in there? Now, I get fruit. I get that. That makes sense. I get marshmallows.
But you won't eat it.
No, it depends. But I'm telling you.
You won't eat it.
When I saw. Yeah, folks, when I saw.
In case you didn't know, when Max, he does not like strawberries.
Fruit, name a fruit, Jell-O fruit that weird. You would eat.
Apples.
Not cooked apples.
Grapes. I've seen grapes. I've seen grapes in Jell-O.
Strawberries.
I've seen that a lot, but I would not eat that. I don't like strawberries.
Ooh.
This is true. But no, cannot lose track of the story here. Somebody put peanuts in their Jell-O, and somebody else put celery.
And carrots. And I remember celery. It was together. It was peanuts, carrots, in like a red Jell-O. I remember this mold. It was in a mold, and it was in, I'm going to call it out, it was in Fisher Church of Christ.
And it was the Women's Missionary Council.
And
it was their monthly luncheon.
I'm sorry, ladies. It was disgusting.
Okay, so back to your mom, Jill.
Yeah, no, so my mom, I mean, it's just kind of a funny thing that we laugh about now, but so that was kind of one of our traditions, and we haven't really done that here, because growing up with the boys, we were always at Christmas Eve service, and it was always rush home, and maybe we would have soup, or we would be at family's house, like Nana and Papa's house, or someone's, so we didn't have those traditions, but we do have, Cookie Day is definitely a tradition. Any other traditions that you can think of that were like, we have to do this? We've been waiting to watch some Christmas movies until you got home, Neil.
I think we watch Elf every year.
Yeah.
That's
we
a staple.
We should do that pretty quick.
We do watch Elf year, every year. And the rules are you cannot watch it before Thanksgiving.
Yes. No, till December 1st.
No, well, Brock's making up rules now.
Yeah.
We always just thought anything post-Thanksgiving.
My rules.
Since birth. Birth.
Birth.
Birth.
Since birth.
There have been many a holiday season where we watch Elf the day after Thanksgiving.
This is true. We have watched.
I said there have been many times, like the day after Thanksgiving, we throw Elf on the screen.
Yeah. Well, it's like if I want to get them to decorate the house, I have to like put something on to encourage them to come in, and then I'm like, don't sit on the couch.
That doesn't work.
Let's decorate.
Sit on the couch.
And so I do think that is a Williams tradition. We always find ourselves watching Elf, and then you know, one of the things I love about our Christmas is, and I don't think we've done it yet. We have not done it yet this year, but watching you boys put together the gingerbread houses.
I know that's one of our
traditions. We haven't done it yet.
Did we do that last year?
Well, see, I know we've done it most years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And then
I eat it.
Yes, yeah. Neil actually eats. You know those nasty kits that you can buy from Walmart that are probably, they should have a warning sign on them that says cause cancer and not edible? Neil devours
They're
them.
They're delicious.
All the candy, all the icing, all the cookie
I'll
part,
make that
like
thing
everything.
Last until past New Year's.
So it's kind of weird. Like in the moment, you know, I get frustrated trying to put those things together. Because mine don't ever turn out the way I think. And yours do turn out really good, Kirsten.
I don't think
You make the icing look like snow coming off. Anyway, but as I look back on it, I have fonder memories of those things than actually doing them in the moment. So that was one. And then
I'm sure we have pictures of when the boys would squeeze the icing bag and their mouth is on it. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You're like, I can't get this to work. I think it's all gone because you ate it all.
And usually in those situations, Neil is stealing other people's candy or bossing people around or eating something. I just have those memories. But,
surely not.
But I love Christmas morning, waking up. It's fairly casual. You usually do some kind of breakfast casserole that you've made ahead of time and you pop in the oven. Like one of my favorites is your biscuits and gravy casserole or your sausage good. And cheese casserole. And then we'll do that. And then we open stockings. That's the first thing. So the stockings and our stockings, we try to load them up with stuff. That's actually kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then we, a lot of times we open gifts on Christmas Eve after the Christmas Eve service. And then Sunday morning is just stockings. But sometimes we open gifts on Christmas as well. And then we have some kind of meal.
Our life is kind of dictated around church. That's our ministry and our livelihood. That's so a lot of it's dictated with that.
That's right. But anyway, I'm looking forward to, you know.
Yeah, and then my family comes coming up here soon. And so my parents and my brother and sister and their families are all coming, and we'll crash into the house and do some fun stuff. So
I'll tell you what, those of you that are listening today, if you want to email us and tell us about your Christmas traditions, if any of them are like, wow, holy cow, we'll talk about it on the air. We'll talk about Christmas traditions. We'd love to hear what your traditions are. What are your favorite memories of Christmas? And let us know. Share your lives with us. We spend our time sharing our lives with you. We'd love to hear a little bit more about your life. So let us know. What are your Christmas traditions?
Merry Christmas, you guys.
Hit that like and follow button.
When I was here last time, I gave all three of them names, but I wasn't set on the other two. I decided that one of them had to be named Molecule.
I think it's a conspiracy for us to have to keep them because you've named them.
I actually did. That was the intention of the plot. I had named all three of them.
Okay, I definitely have a cat update, so.
So that my dad would fall in love with them and like let them inside and love them. But it turns out it was even better than my names, because I come home now and I find not only are they named, he named them.
What did you name them, Joe?
Let's just talk about it on air, okay?
We are.
We're on this air. This is talking?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
what did you name them, Joe?
So there is one of the three cats. Well, you know, they disappeared for 2 days and I thought they either got picked up or eaten or something. So they came back. And I thought an eagle came by.
Eagles fly through all the time. Have you seen those pictures of eagles flying around and grabbing dogs? It's no joke. They'll eat that for lunch.
Yeah, I thought they got eaten or picked up. So they came back. And so here's the latest. So there's one of the three that's pretty friendly and way more comfortable with me than the others. When I say way more comfortable, this cat will every morning without fail at starting about 7 in the morning will come up to the back door.
Our bedroom back door.
Bedroom
back door, he's looking in like,
that's a little bit unnerving to wake up and see that thing just staring at you.
Why have you guys not fed me yet?
But most of the time it's at the back door off our back deck. So just like this morning, I got up and I'm walking through the kitchen, walking through the house, and I look out and sure enough, it's sitting right there. It's meowing because it's hungry. Aww. And so it's the same cat every time. It's the only one that comes up to the door. And so that's the one that I'm most familiar with, and it's the one that's least intimidated.
He's most comfortable with you.
So that one I can pick out from the rest. And I have named that one. I have named it. His name or her, I don't know.
Mom said that you need to pick them up and look at the gender.
Yeah, I said, I don't know if they're boys or girls. And and I said, how do you tell the difference? And my mom's like, you pick it up and flip it over. And I'm like, well, I know that. But I haven't been able to get close enough to grab it.
They're not comfortable with us that close yet.
So the one that's really friendly that comes up to the door all the time, that doesn't run away when I walk outside on the deck, I've named that one Nippy. That one is called Nippy. And the reason why I call that one Nippy is because it's the top of its left ear is missing. So I'm like, oh, that thing got nipped off of there. Somebody nipped that.
Been eating its ear.
I just started calling it Nippy because I went back and looked at pictures from a few weeks earlier and all three cats had all their ears. So something has changed in the last month.
Maybe they got frostbite.
So I don't know. So that one's called Nippy. So then Nippy, I'll walk out on the deck, and Nippy's the one that's always waiting for me. And I walk out on the deck, and Nippy will just step a few feet away, and I can tell it's still a little skittish. But, you know, if I put the food down and I sit in the chair right next to it, Nippy will eventually come up and eat right next to me. And we have these little cat treats, and I'll toss the treats to the cats, and they're all interested in those. And so I thought Nippy was going to come eat right out of my hand the other day, but just would get with about a foot from me and would not come any closer, but really wanted it. So I'm not close enough to touch him, and I honestly don't know if I might like pet their head or something, but you know, I'm thinking these are wild cats. I don't want them to scratch me or bite me or give me some kind of rabies or something. Oh, I don't know, whatever they carry. But anyway, so my goal is I'm going to try to get Nippy to eat out of my hand, but here's what happened. So the other two, they come around as well, and we saw them all cuddled up on one of our cushions, all three together the other day. It was kind of cute. But then one of the other cats came up, And this one
was nippy.
This one I thought was nippy because they look really similar, but this other one's got a little bit rounder face. You can tell there's a difference. And that cat's missing the top of its left ear as well. I'm like, wait a minute. Dun, dun, dun. Is this some kind of tribal, like, you know, ritual? Like, everybody loses the... So I've got two cats that are missing the top of their left ear. It's the left ear. And
they might have all had a big cat brawl.
I don't know. So anyway, that one is called Nippy 2. All right. So I got Nippy and Nippy 2. And so that's creative. What their name... I know.
It's, and then the other one I just call Skittish because it does not come around. No,
and Nippy as far 3. As I can tell, the only way I can tell that one apart from the other ones is it's got both of its ears. So if they lose any...
probably the best fighter.
If they lose any more of their ears, it's probably the best fighter. It's probably the dominant. Get up there and give me some food.
Oh, my word.
No,
it's
but,
the one that has the SEAL uniform on. Walking around patrolling the neighborhood.
That's the cat sitting back on the tree stump going, I own you. YouTube. You want to lose more ear? But anyway,
try me again.
That one doesn't come around as much, so but it has both of its ears. So if they lose any more body parts, I'm going to change their names to Lucky or something. Lucky and Lucky too. But anyway, Nippy is really friendly. I have no doubt that eventually Nippy will come, will
really
not run
sweet
away.
Cat.
Very tender cat. Very, you know.
Very dependent though. I mean, it's very dependent on us. And so that's a little concerning because it's standing at the door looking for food. Like, I haven't found a mouse yet. Can you feed me? That's a little concerning that it's not a self-sufficient
still
cat.
Still can't get a dog.
So anyway, but
three random cats
birth.
Show up.
Not, we haven't been feeding them since birth. We didn't even know about them until they were like 6 or 7
weeks
old.
But here's what concerns me. Abby, I know you're not behind a microphone right now, but when you said recently that that these cats, we don't know if they're boys or girls and we should get them fixed or whatever, because that thought never even crossed my mind till you said it. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're right.
You're welcome.
And I don't want to like trap them. I've heard that's kind of traumatizing. Here I am talking like a real animal lover here. But you know, but here's the thing, you guys, and maybe you can give me some guidance. In the last week, I've seen two unfamiliar cats walking around. Mm-hmm. One of them walked up on my deck, this big gray cat with a collar. So somebody's cat walking in like it owned the place. And I'm like, okay, forgive me for saying this. I'm like, that cat's looking for some action. That cat, that's a naughty cat. That's a naughty cat right there. And so I ran out on the back deck and like, get out of here. We're not open for business. Get out of here.
You're not Nippy 1 or 2.
That's right. No, yeah. They don't belong to you. Anyway.
Beat it, old man.
Listen,
it's because the food dish was still out, and that cat was smelling themselves some cat food.
So I've seen two cats, but that one that walked up on my deck. So, listen, I'm fully aware that I might be a grandpa soon, a grandpa cat owner, and I don't want to be. So Abby, I don't know what to do about this. I don't want more baby cats.
You're like, I'm
you
about
guys,
to be a grandpa.
The transition is complete. Joe is now full on cat lover.
I'm like the guardian dad. Like, get out of here. Get away from
these
cats.
He's full on cat corrupt.
Nippy 1's probably posting on Facebook, the Williams house is open free food. Don't
get any time. Nippy.
And you're just like, yeah, you're
Nippy's probably a girl. He like, hello, out, boys.
Goes out on the back porch every morning, every all the time. He's listen, like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
What are we talking about?
You hear that from miles you. Away. My exactly. dad goes out on the back porch. He's like, here, kitty. Then he turns around. He's like, they know this is the time now.
No. Time. When I come walk up, out on the back food. Deck, doesn't matter what time of day, I'll yell, here, kitty, kitty, and all three of them come running. It's
yeah,
kind of.
Say what you say.
I'm not doing a microphone. It's pretty cool. But anyway, so that's the cat update. Two of the three are named. It's Nippy and Nippy 2. And I don't know what the third cat needs to be called
Molecule.
Yet. And yeah, I really about. Don't know. And
Neil's name.
So we'll Scare see what happens. Cat. We'll keep you guys posted. But anyway, if you guys got any tips for cats, I'm all ears. So.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Neil and
Merry
Brock.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks for being on the podcast with us. Yeah, and now you're caught up and everything's Williams Brothers.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood,
not a car show. This podcast has been brought to you by New Life NWA Swag. Make sure to check out the UTH podcast Instagram for pictures of the Williams family modeling this great swag. Merry Christmas, everyone.